The following Bass Talk Live iTunes podcast is brought to you by Lowrance. BTL, coming at you. Basscat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFCO, and Duckett Fishing. Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, how you doing?
I'm reading an article from Colorado where a guy got attacked by a mountain lion on Monday and he choked it to death.
Yeah, I saw that on the news. That's crazy,
that's
man.
That's kind of cool. I mean, not the attack part, but the
the fact that he saved his life by choking the mountain
choking
lion.
Choking the mountain lion, yeah.
All right, show number 16 today of 2019, and we've got a really good show. We're going to have Mark Menendez on live via Skype from the St. John's River, and he's going to give us some insight on what's taking place at the very first Elite Series event of the season. And from the guys that I've spoken with, Matthew, it is a little difficult.
What was the hurricanes? Was that Irma?
I don't remember.
A hurricane, I think, it killed a lot of the grass that was in that system. The eel grass beds and some of the typical stuff that we've seen throughout a lot of the St. John's River tournaments over the past 7-8 years are no longer in play. So I'll be interested to see how Mark and the rest of the guys attack it, since the, was it kind of like a security blanket? Lake George eel? Eelgrass beds have been kind of like a security blanket for a lot of those guys.
And supposedly, it's not going to come into play at all. That's what I've been told.
We'll see.
No grass.
Remember we stayed at that house that was right at the mouth of Lake George, and we just our boat driver would pick us up right at the dock, and we just roll over there and watch half the field battle it out in about a 100-acre section.
Yeah.
And it was a good time.
They would take bamboo was a big thing there. Remember?
Yeah, with the shiners, wasn't it?
No. They would stick the bamboo sticks.
Do you remember that? The tomato sticks, the little bamboo where the beds were because you couldn't get too close to the beds, and then you come back and cast to it. That was also the last time we were down there. I don't think you were there, but we stayed at a house that was on the river there, and they had blue crab traps. So I went and got a fishing license and stuff, and I was actually staying with Kelly Jordan, and he's like, dude, they're delicious. So I went and I got turkey necks and chicken necks and stuff, and I baited the traps, and I caught about 8 to 10 real nice blue crabs. It was in season. I checked all the a day.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we had a big crab boil, and me and Kelly just got stuck, drank a lot of beer and ate blue crab. But he didn't care how he did in the tournament. He wanted to know, you know, I'd see him at the weigh-in and go, how many blue crabs we got today?
Maybe that's why he didn't have that great of a year.
Yeah, we'll see.
Blue crab. All right. Good show today. And then next week we are planning on, with so much going on, we've got the FLW event taking place at Toho. The first 2 days of next week, hopefully we are planning on getting Brad Hallman in here. I don't know what day yet.
Actually,
it depends on his schedule, because when I spoke to him, he said that he might be going to practice at some lake, and I can't remember what it is.
Okay, maybe Chickamauga?
I don't know. So there's a chance that he may not be back next week. If he's not back next week, then the following week we will get him in studio to break down his event on Lake Toho. Having said that, we will try and get the winner from the Elite Series event and the winner from the FLW Tour event on Monday and Tuesday of next week. That's the plan.
Oh, I would assume that the FLW one would have to be
Tuesday
since they do the day five.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've made contact with Joe, and Joe's
That's an interesting feat. You know, it's an interesting feature. You'd think you'd only be interested in that if you fish that body of water and wanted to know about it. But it's amazing when you watch those day fives how dialed in the guys who won are. Love that.
You bring up a great point, Matt. Let me say this. With the exception of Florida, and I know there's other places across the country, but Florida is very specific. There's things that you do in Florida that you just don't do anywhere else in the country. Is it possible to pick up things maybe I don't know, tweak something to where what they do in Florida might be duplicated in grass in Texas?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Mark that. He would know. As he's been doing this for 25, 30 years.
I never thought about that. But that's one of the cool things about that day five is you could pick up on so many, you know, techniques and just little, I don't want to say tricks, but just little characteristics that you may not get to see while the event is taking place, even with all the live coverage. So I don't know. All right. One thing I want to touch on real quick right here in my hands, folks. Yes, I have been selected once again for this year to be part of the voting committee for the 2019 ballot of the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame.
Sure, you voting for Jordan Lee?
He's not on there.
Now, what do you have to be? You have to be 50?
Yeah, you have to be 50. And then it's interesting because the people that are on the ballot, and I'm not going to say because I don't know if I could say or not. I still haven't got a ruling on that.
You don't want to get kicked off of that voting. Now, no. I did see you do have a presence in the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame in Missouri.
Who?
You do.
What do you mean?
Because it says the legend, Harold Allen, and talks about how the legend got his nickname and all that.
Oh, it does?
There's like a plaque. He obviously has his plaque when he got inducted. Yeah. But then there's like an interactive kind of computer board that you can go through and read about each guy who's on the wall.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, they don't mention me, though. I mean, that's
can't remember if it said it. I think it might have. It was interesting. But he talked about the nickname that you gave him.
Huh.
I don't know if your name was specifically mentioned, but in a roundabout way, you're part of the Hall of Fame.
We kind of revitalized his, you know, presence.
He gave him an opportunity to let his personality shine.
And it did shine, man. He was awesome. And one of the things that I will always say about Harold is that he was so good at telling everybody what was taking place on the water
without telling them anything. I got to mention this. I was on the phone with a guy a couple days ago, and I mentioned, and I've had it in my notes for the last two shows, and I haven't brought it up, but and we have zero affiliation with this. Zero. The My Outdoor TV app, it's like $9.99 a month. Remember, Major League Fishing was pumping it that you can go on and watch the extended cast on there. You can watch the old ones. Well, I don't get the outdoor channel or...
with your cable package?
Yeah, or any of that. So I haven't watched like the Zona shows or Mercer shows or a lot of the MLF stuff. But when they started this tour, I said, well, I better probably go back and watch all the
because
MLF.
You don't have it on cable.
Right. I got to go back and watch it so I can 100% get familiar with this from years past. So I pulled out the card and I'm paying $9.99 a month. That thing is awesome, Mark. You pull out the Fire Stick or whatever it is, and you have it plugged in, and you can run it right through your TV. It's got like 37 seasons of In Fisherman. I was saying I learned how to back troll for whitefish in the winter up north using micro jigs. I learned how to catch channel catfish through the ice.
Dude, you've got way too much. You have way too much time.
But it's got literally hundreds of hours of all the awesome fishing show footage that I have not been privy to watch.
Do they have throwback stuff?
They have all the...
Bass stuff?
No bass stuff. They have MLF stuff, all of Mercer shows, Zona seasons.
Yeah.
All of his, you know, his latest, I think there's like 8 or 9 seasons on that. All
but no vintage
the
bass
The MLF
stuff.
Season, some kayak stuff, the Strike King Pro Journal... and then you can break it down to where if you just want to watch trout fishing or crappie fishing or big bass, and then there's all the hunting and cooking. Yeah. It's really worth it.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I have watched.
Could
regular,
you binge watch?
Oh, 100%. It's like Netflix for the outdoorsman. That's the best way that I can put it. And like all I said, right.
Is
I'm
it
paying,
hunting too?
Yeah. All the hunting stuff too.
Okay.
And you just watch it on demand. I'm paying $9.99 a month for it. I'm not getting a dime on it. I'm spending money on it.
Huh.
But I've been impressed with it.
All right. Cool. I mean, I have it in my cable package, or satellite package, whatever
you
I have.
You get the whole My Outdoor TV thing?
No. I get the,
you
outdoor,
get the outdoor
channel
right.
And
okay.
The Pursuit channel.
Yeah.
And
yeah. See, I don't.
WFN and
that's
all that.
It's just a land of mystique and mystery for me.
What do you get?
Just a regular.
4, 5,
no,
and 9?
No, regular ESPN,
do you get ESPN
stuff,
okay.
And all that. Yeah, you got
all right.
The football games.
One thing I want to say on this ballot is there's some... for those people that don't know, they split it up into two sections. They have I'm just going to call it a professional performance angler section, right, based upon their performance and what they've contributed as a professional angler. And then the second one is they have kind of industry people. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's one guy on there that's on that I'm going to give up one of my votes that I truly believe he needs to be in.
Don't get in trouble.
I don't care. If they say, hey, you shouldn't have done that, then slap my hand.
Who's they? How do you?
The people that run the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame, which it's made up of a board and, you know, they have a management team and all that and everything. It's not a full-time gig. I mean, it's more voluntary. I don't think there's any salary or anything like that involved. I think the whole Bass Fishing Hall of Fame is actually supported through donations and fundraisers and stuff like that. So you don't have like this massive boardroom of 10 people in there that are making six figures. That's not how it works. Anyway, there's one gentleman that is up to be nominated that I'm just going to say it. I think he fully deserves to be in the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame, and that's Ed Chambers. Absolutely, 100%.
Why is that?
Man, you think about when you think about soft plastics and you think about the contribution that he made, but more importantly, you think about the people that he has helped in this industry over the 50 years, maybe even longer, that he has been involved in this game. The contribution that he has made, it really can't be measured. And with the passing of Ed this year and just the contribution just away from his involvement with Zoom Baits is deserving to have that position in being in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know if they make what the votes are public on how
they
often
don't.
I would imagine he would probably be a unanimous pick, Mark.
I would hope so.
There's no way he shouldn't be.
Well, there is a number in that category. There's more people up for vote in that category. And the second category is contributions to the industry. They have people grouped in there that are journalists, photographers, people that own companies
but
or
as
started
a whole,
companies.
Basically, anybody who has bass fished more than once.
Not necessarily.
Has been affected by Ed Chambers.
Well, I agree. I thought you were
going
somewhere
else. You might not even know it. You have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
But even a beginner, what is one of the main, a Zoom plastic would be one of the main.
A Zoom lizard.
Yeah, a Zoom lizard, a fluke, trick worm, any of that stuff.
I was looking for, there was one stat in here that I wanted to pull up, and now I can't find it. Here it is right here. Zoom started in 1977. And it said it was founded, Zoom Bait was founded in 1977. While he was still working in a full-time business, selling and repairing jukeboxes.
Wow, it's amazing. It's a good
transition. And pinball machines.
That's a good transition time right there, because I'm...
Yeah. His hobby was pouring plastic worms that he couldn't find anywhere else. So he'd work a full-time gig, and then he'd pour plastics after that.
At least he had some tunes to listen to while he poured the plastics.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
And then he passed away at age 79. But how many times have we heard guys on tour talk about the influence that Ed had on their fishing career and their lives in general?
Massive.
It's, Kevin Short, Gerald Swindle, just a number of guys out there that Ed Chambers is just, he is well deserving to be into the Hall of Fame. So we'll see.
If you get in trouble for giving up that vote, then I don't know if you want to be part of that voting process.
I don't know. He's a good dude, man. I met him twice and, just an impressive human being. All right, what else, Matthew? Anything else?
No.
Toho, the guy's going to smash him this week?
Smash him.
Think so. The weather is playing out. FLW. We talked about it on Monday, the FLW event on Toho. 95 pounds to win?
90.
In the 90s?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Spawn going to come into play big time?
yeah, fish that are moving up just based on, you know, FLW does a great job on their pre-tournament interviews and they ride with guys. It's actually amazing how much info those guys give up in their in their stories and stuff. Yeah, like Nick LeBrun out there, like, pulling up stalks of, like, specific vegetation, going, I'm catching them here, spawning on the base of these stalks. This is what it looks like. I'm sitting there, I'm like,
what's wrong with that,
man? I'm like, bro, that's public information. You realize there's, like, 169 other guys that are looking at this, right?
Wow.
But, I mean, he's... We've established that he's probably good enough. He could give everyone the baits and the pattern and still outfish him. Like, yeah. I said, I think he's on pace to be a new superstar over at FLW.
All right, very cool. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with Mark Menendez here on a Wednesday. Everybody, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Sleek new design with easy control file. Clearest images underwater with uncompromising range. Live mapping from the touchscreen. View notifications, video, even Google Maps on screen. And for the first time ever, real-time view of fish movements with Live Sight Sonar. HDS Live. New from Lowrance.
The heart of the BassCat experience is the pride of ownership that comes with each blast-off and every precision hairpin turn. It's a rush of adrenaline driven by the total commitment to performance and the knowledge that no compromises were made building a craft that stands up to the rigors of competitive angling. BassCat combines the latest proprietary materials and building techniques with over 40 years of continuous family-run operation and our unwillingness to accept anything less than the best. Welcome to BassCat. Feel the rush.
Some people have seen a green ghost. Green Ghost, the new rod from Duckett Fishing. $79. It's coming February 2019. Duckett Fishing, pro driven.
It's about the hours spent getting everything just right. It's the attention to detail. Good just isn't good enough. It's the years spent on the water day after day. When you tie on a bait by Strike King, you're standing on the shoulders of legends.
Pros depend on hydraulic jack plates to get the best out of their boats. Do what they do. Demand Atlas Performance. Atlas gets you from the bottom to the top in less than 8 seconds, even with the big four strokes. And when you gotta turn right around and get that heavy load back up in rough water, Atlas's innovative design and American-made components will get you there with confidence.
I'm at Depot. Just look for yourself. There's an Atlas jack plate on just about every professional's boat.
The Atlas Hydraulic Jack Plate. You can depend on it.
The message is simple. Win. Coming in 2019, the Duckett Fishing Silverado. It's coming at you for $99.95. Check it out at DuckettFishing.com. There is no gray area, just silver. Check it out.
Hey guys, Aaron Martins here. I'm going to be telling you about a new product by Sunline. It's Siglon PE times 8. I've been using it almost extensively all year for my frogging, flipping, drop shotting, shaky heading, worming, jerk baiting. It's by far my favorite Sunline braid. I don't say this unless I think it's true, but honestly, it's the best braid in the market out of any of the braids. Definitely check it out. It's a price point line, $14.95 for 165 yards, and that could last you a whole year, just one spool with using leader material. So again, it's Siglon PE times 8. It's my favorite braid, and I think if you use it, it'll be your favorite braid too.
AFCO has a new foul weather rain suit called the Hydronaut. A lot of the features that I really like about it first is the speed vent hood. If it's raining out, you know, how a person gets wet is when you run down the lake and the hood comes down. With the speed vent hood, it's gonna stay up. It has a camera mount in the pocket on the chest. The Hydronaut has a two-layer, 100% waterproof nylon shell. If you're interested in a rain suit that has a lot of cool features that's going to keep you dry, you need to check out the Hydronaut from Apco.
All right, we are back on a Wednesday. You like those tunes, Matthew? That's very 70s, Streets of San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than the headbanging stuff that you get all the hate mail for, I guess.
Don't get hate mail.
It's kind of Mission Impossible-ish.
Well, you know what Streets of San Francisco was in the 70s?
No, I thought that was like the title of a U2 song.
No, it was a TV detective show. Very, very popular.
With Dick Van Dyke?
No.
Oh.
No. Who was the guy in Basic Instinct? Don't know. Yeah. We'll go down. Anyway, it sounds like a cop show, yeah. Basically, is what I think. All right. You ready to bring in Mark there, Matthew?
Let's do it. This is the rare off day for the Elite Series following 3 days of practice to kick off the 2019 Elite Series season down on the St. John's River. They have the next several hours to pull their rigs through, I'm assuming, to get inspected, make sure everything's
photos.
Kosher on it, get the photos, the stickers on it, yeah. Make sure they are good to go. So when this thing kicks off tomorrow morning, everybody is, make sure no one had like a secret 350 horsepower motor strapped onto like a 19 footer and gets down to Lake George 20 minutes faster than everyone else.
I don't think that's going to happen. All right, let's bring him in. Marky, there, man.
I'm here.
Hey, thanks for taking time out. I know you got a busy day today, but we appreciate you. Hopefully giving us some insight on what's going to go down at the very first.
Let's just stop right there.
What do you
Mark,
mean?
That was Michael Douglas in the movie you were talking about.
Yeah.
And Matt, that's the Streets That Have No Name from U2, which is the song that I come into on the Elite stage. So I want to get both of you guys straightened out real quick.
Wow, there is some weird random connection between that. That's unbelievable. I didn't know that.
There you have it.
That's what gray-haired age will do to you.
Yeah, I got a lot of it.
Wow.
That's impressive, Mark. Very, very impressive. All right. What is going down on the St. John's River? Multiple times that the Elite Series has been there, but it's a little different this year, isn't it, Mark?
It's not a little, Marky. It's a lot different. Very little vegetation due to the hurricane that was here not many months ago. Fish populations are a little bit different than what they were. So this is going to be a different St. John's event where you could expect 25 to 30 bites a day, 50 bites a day, whatever. It's going to be a grinder. Going to be a grinder.
All right. Is Lake George going to come into play?
Minimal. And that's where the masses of the weight has come from over the last three or four times we've been here. There will be some fish caught there, but it's just so random and so hard to pinpoint anything there. I think everybody will look elsewhere.
So where do the fish do? I mean, those things have spawned in Lake George in the eel grass beds. I mean, it's no secret. Every time we've been there the last couple, where do they go? Do they just roam around and go, I don't know where to spawn?
I think they swim around in that big 9-mile circle is what they do, Matt. There's no eelgrass in the lake hardly at all, very little vegetation, nothing that promotes a good spawning area for them hardly at all. So they'll spawn. There's a couple little nicky-nacky places that they can get in, and there'll be some spawning going on, but it's just a whole different ball game.
You have finishes of 47, 36, 33rd on the St. John's. Quality finishes there. There's a lot of guys who have not seen the St. John's before that are now on the Elite Series this year. Does your history help you or does it hurt you going into this event?
Well, obviously, a lot of my history's gone with eelgrass beds. And, you know, I've been able to pop one or two big ones each time I've been here. I caught a 9-6 the last time I was here and didn't even get big fish for the day. So when you catch one of those good ones, it's going to play twice as much as it normally does.
All right. Mark, I'm curious, with events that take place in Florida, and Matt and I were talking about this during our first segment, Is there things that you can apply when you fish in Florida that people across the country can actually see what you guys are doing and go, huh, even though that's Florida and it's grass and it might be the different type of grass that's in my area, but are there things that fans can pick up from you guys fishing in Florida and actually apply across the nation?
Absolutely. And the one thing, Mark, that I can tell you here in Florida that's so true and so prevalent that if you bring it home to Oklahoma or Kentucky or wherever you're from, is just slow down. Take your foot off that motor guide. Slow down. Be more methodical about your presentation and just fish a little slower and a little deeper, and you're going to catch bigger and more fish wherever you are. There are times that you have to turn that trolling motor up and move fast, spinnerbait, chatterbait, those type things. But here in Florida, it's all about being old and slow. So it fits my mold pretty good.
How important, or is the spawn going to be a factor this week?
Well, I think it's going to be. It's going to play. We finally got some warm weather. I don't think it's going to be like a Toho back in the days when records were broken. But I think they've held off. There's a few fish still here in a wintertime pattern. So I think you're going to see a big move from yesterday to tomorrow for sure.
How much impact was the damage from the hurricane?
I think it's significant, Mark. I really do. I'm not seeing – there's some year classes of fish I'm not seeing. I've seen a couple of better fish. I've not seen many of those 2.5 to 4 pound fish that are the weight getters in this place.
We've seen where are that places past all the manatee zones. We see that, like a group of guys right there. Obviously, Lake George. The guys tend to, well, unless you're Terry Scroggins and you fish all of them in a single day like he's done in the past, you see a lot of guys that group up and spend their time in just certain popular areas, and it's pretty predictable. Are there going to be guys all over the map with the changing conditions now?
I think you're going to see guys at the lower limits. I think you're going to see guys that go darn near to the ocean. I'd hate to be the media trying to keep up with everybody on this one because I think everybody's going to be spread out. They've been spoiled because all they've had to do is drive to Lake George and go to the parking lot.
That's not true.
Get all the pictures they need. So Bowman's going to have to work, which is good for Bowman. Make him work a little bit. He's on easy street most of the time. But I think it's going to be a little more challenging for them.
Is this going to be an area thing? I know the whole Lake George thing, but is it setting up to where somebody can really milk an area for 4 days, or is this going to be an event where you're going to, you know, go 10 miles over here and 20 miles over here or 3 miles over there, Mark?
I think it's going to be area fishing, and you may have to make a pass and have 3 or 4 different areas to kind of milk. I'm telling you guys, it's going to be a grinder. It's going to be a grinder from what I've seen. So getting 5 is a key thing. And right now, I really don't care how big they are. And then there's a couple ways I'm going to try to spend some time and get that bigger bite. But I think you're well set to keep your big motor off once you get to a destination.
All right. This is kind of an interesting thing that I'm really curious about. With so many young faces on the Elite Series this year, right now I believe you're at the Boatyard, correct? Are you close to the Boatyard? Have any of the young anglers or the tour rookies approached you and said, hey, Mark, you know, I value your opinion. What do you think about this? Have any of those guys approached you at all?
Yeah, I have. I met several of the guys at the meeting back in December, and several of them, you know, obviously accommodations are a worry. Where's a safe place to stay so I don't lose all my stuff in my boat and my truck? I've had several of them reach out to me and just say, hey, you know, glad to be here. Appreciate the fact that you're still here with us and that you've been out here for so long. And it's been nice to be asked those questions, and I appreciate that from these guys. These guys are hungry. They're all fabulous fishermen. Don't think because we don't know their names, they're not capable of setting the hook and winding a big one in. So this is a stout field. It's a stout field with a bunch of young names that have come from the college ranks. You know, bass has pulled tons and tons of these kids into our sport and our profession through the college ranks. And they have a lot of experience, even though they may be 28, 30, 35 years old. These are tough anglers at the top of their game. So there's not a slouch among them.
Mark, I want to ask a question. You know, how much of an impact has the Asian carp had on the St. John's River? And have they been jumping into your boat? Has that been affecting your side imaging?
Come on,
and is
man.
Maybe that why all the grass is gone in Lake George?
Well, it's not the ice carp. It's the mullet here, Matt. There are trophy mullet in Lake George that you can't imagine. 3, 4, and 5 pounders jumping. So the Asian carp hasn't affected here, but it's the mullet that are the issue.
Okay. I was a joke. Just for those who didn't catch that, Mark is up there. We had a great show where he came on, talked about the Asian, the big the silver carp issue that's going on the Tennessee River. I was just making a joke about him being in Florida, which to my knowledge, they're not in the St. John's River.
He's always trying to be funny, Mark. Always trying to be funny. All right.
I know it.
I want to ask you, away from what's taking place in Florida this week, how is the other projects that you have going, the television show and some of the stuff that you're working on?
Well, my television show is a regional show back in Kentucky. It's called Mark Menendez Bass TV, and we have exploded. It's more work than I would have ever dreamt, Mark. We're getting great sponsorship. We're getting great people that are working with us. We've got some great shows already put into the can and got to film a few more to finish out the season. But we're going to be in 1.5 million households. That's a big step up from last year where we were probably in about 200,000. So moving up to that, I'm starting to get some people to want me to move on up to a national level. I'm not ready for that just yet, but we're going to stay put where we are, and we're getting a great response in the 4-state area around Kentucky. So I'm thrilled, really, really thrilled.
Mark, there's a number of people on the instant feedback, and I agree with them 100%. With so much live coverage now from all three trails, they are saying that you would make an outstanding commentator about the action that's taking place on the water because of the experience, the knowledge base, and just the way that you present yourself. So if that opportunity ever comes up, I agree with the fans 100%, man. You do a great job.
Well, thank you. I hope that I don't get to do any Sunday commentating or Saturday commentating. That means I didn't make any of the cuts. So if you see me, that's not a good thing, but I appreciate those compliments. I would love to do that again. I did that for the Classic a couple of years ago. It's been a while at Lake Wylie and down at Pittsburgh. So I'm hoping to do that in later on in my career and lend some of this experience to that. So it'll be a lot of fun to be able to do that.
All right. A couple more people also say, hey, your show, you need to put some more stuff on YouTube about it.
We are. We're going to try to syndicate our first season. That's why we haven't put much on YouTube about it. It's coming, guys. Just be patient with us. When we get this second season up and we syndicate to the St. Louis market, the Nashville market, then we'll start putting it on there. So it's coming, and we'll get them there soon.
All right. Clay in Arkansas wants to know, did you watch any of the MLF action last week?
I did watch a little bit of it. I saw a lot of screen test bars there, which was they've got a lot to work out on their coverage. It's a neat concept, but I did watch a little bit of it. I sure did. I was pulling for my old roommate, Bradley Roy, who had a near miss on making the cuts. And, you know, I feel like he's my son. I raised him since he was about 18, and I just wanted to see him do well.
Different vibe this year, 30 fewer guys than there have been in the past year, 18 guys coming in from the Opens, a dozen from the FLW Tour, a lot of returning guys, Bass rolling out some new stuff with their coverage that you've seen over the past month or two across their social media platforms. Excitement, the same, totally different. How would you kind of describe the vibe there in Palatka on the eve of the first day of the season?
Well, it's pretty relaxed, Matt. It's kind of fun to see and meet all these new guys. And like I said, the meeting we had in Bass in December was the first time I had been in a group of anglers that it wasn't like a bunch of Girl Scouts bitching and moaning on who sold the most cookies. It was neat. It was fun. There's great new personalities. So it's real relaxed here in the yard right now. Everybody's coming up high-fiving, saying hello to one another. And we've got some fierce competitors out here as well. So, hopefully, as a group, we'll move forward. I think that's the goal. What Bass has done as far as the media side and the content that they're churning out is a first in the new content. They are really getting with it, giving an expose of each of these young guys, some old guys mixed in there, so the fans can learn more about it and they can pick their jockey. They can pick the person they want to cheer for. They can identify with a Brett Pruitt who was a baseball player. You know, all of these things come to focus on building everyone's brand, and Bass has done an exquisite job at it, and they're going to continue to market it even that much better.
All right. From a fishing standpoint, Mark, what are two things this season that you really need to step up in order to have a good season?
Oh, I don't know, Mark. Probably a little more preparation at home. I've done a lot of preparation at home. This is the first time my boat's been organized in years. I mean, I know it's in the boat somewhere and I have to chase it down. Now I can put my hands on that crankbait or that topwater that I want. That's a big deal. And probably a little more preparation with Google Earth would probably help me. I'm not the most technologically savvy. I was amazed to even get Skype put on my phone. I did it by myself. I want everyone to know that. The other one thing that is going to be absolutely amazing to me, I've had it on all this week so far, and I think two-dimensional depth finding is over, but live scope, kids, is unbelievable. I have just sat and looked around and seen fish swimming, had a manatee in front of my boat that I could see plain as day the other day. So it is remarkable. I'm telling you, this is a game changer, and I'm going to spend a lot more time with my Garmin unit with my live scope.
There's all sorts of manatee jokes you could go in there, but I'll just, I got a question. You talk about the grass, and there's a lot of Florida guys aren't fishing the Elite Series this year. Before you could go back and say this guy. And I know you're a competitor with him, but does Cliff Prince have a big advantage this week with his knowledge of the shell beds and the river? It would seem to me like this would just set up to be tough to kind of compete with the guy who knows how to catch him outside of the grass year round.
Well, absolutely. And if you don't have 10 pounders on a spawning bed, Cliff is my odds on favorite to win the tournament. It's his tournament to lose, in my opinion, with his vast knowledge of this place. The grass, when it was in George, was an equalizer. You could stumble across an 8 or a 9 pounder, one or two a day, and you could keep up with these guys that knew where all the 3.5 and 4 pounders were. So Cliff has a huge advantage. He just rolled by here. I haven't seen him all week. He's probably been doing his porta potty business, you know, cutting the grass, hanging out, you know, whatever at home. I certainly would have too, because he knows exactly where to go throw. So if he can keep his nerves under his hat, he'll be fine. So I look for the Cliff Prince show to happen this week.
All right, man. Wow. I just want to thank you for taking time out. Some really good insight on what's going down on the St. John's River this week. And we love having you on, Mark. When things settle down a little bit, I'd like to have you back on to where we can talk about some of the updates that's going down at Kentucky Lake with the whole carp situation, though.
Absolutely. Be glad to. But, Jeffries, don't call me anymore when I'm fishing. You
what?
Called me the other day, and I was 2 miles from your house, and I was fishing. You bothered my Oklahoma fishing trip. I was staying at our good friend Ron Shaw's house for the Oklahoma City Boat Show, working for Blackbeard and Skeeter, and it was before the show, and I actually got to catch one out there before you called, but I didn't even get a chance to catch a second one. So don't bother me when I'm
fishing.
Wait,
where did he take you?
He was at Ron Shaw's house.
Oh, does he have a lake there?
Yeah.
Oh, just a pond.
Yeah.
Oh, not... Because I was sick and I was like, it's been too muddy at Thunderbird. I haven't been able to catch him. How are they catching him at Thunderbird? No. I thought I'd get a little juice on that.
It's cheating, Matt, when you go to Ron's pond.
Yeah.
They can't run from you, and there's a ton of big ones in there. So it was a lot of fun to see the Shaw family and get to do the boat show out there in Oklahoma City. I always love coming. I even got to go to Mickey Mantle's to dinner. I mean, that was a real treat. So great to be in Oklahoma and great to be with you guys as always.
Hey, next year, we're going to plan on getting you in studio when you come up for the boat show. We'll take one day, and it would be awesome to have you in studio to where the people can interact with you live right here. So plan on that next year.
Absolutely. The plans are already being made to come back, so I'll just come in a day early and we'll get all that done.
That sounds awesome. All right. Good luck to you this week, Mark. We wish you the best, and we'll see you soon, man.
Thank you, guys. I hope I get 5 tomorrow.
All right, man. Take care.
See you,
Mark.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you have it. Mark Menendez. And sounds a little tough, dude. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the advantage that he's going to have, talking about the HFA.
That Cliff Prince is going to have?
Yeah. Could you compare that to the Biffle advantage that he had on Lake Fort Gibson?
No.
When he was mowing his yard?
No, because here's the advantage that Biffle had on Fort Gibson. Remember, everyone did their homework on the Arkansas River.
Right.
and then it was switched to Gibson. So they only had a half day of practice on Gibson. So it'd be like if it was on a different lake and no one even knew what was going on the St. John's, and then it got switched to the St. John's.
That's a good point.
Now everyone knows that there's no grass. Everyone's been to Lake George. Everyone's seen what stages it's in. Everyone knows where the fish are. So I wouldn't compare it to that, but he, I think, is...
From a knowledge base on the body of water?
From a knowledge base on the body of water, it is very Biffle-esque, but from a... Boom, no one else knows we're fishing here, and now we are.
I gotcha. I understand. All right. What else, man? Anything else you want to tackle?
Like I said, just make sure to join our fantasy fishing group. Give me about 20 seconds. I'm going to get logged in here and make sure.
While you're doing that, I'm going to mention this. A number of people have requested another Sunline Hotline show. And depending on how next week goes, we may do that on Wednesday of next week. If we can get the FLW winner on Tuesday, the Elite Series winner on Monday, I am seriously thinking about opening up the phone lines. Once again, that was a tremendous show with a lot of feedback and a lot of participation from the listeners. The second thing, while you're pulling that up, is make sure that if you're listening to us on iTunes, that you give us a review and that you rate us with a 1 to 5 rating. That is very, very important for us to keep the momentum going. Continue to add the comments on YouTube for the on-demand stuff that we throw out there from the show. And wow, I just, once again, I got to thank everybody for the growth that we have experienced so far here in 2019. And a lot of that is due to the word of mouth by the viewers and the listeners.
And we do, like I said, we do read all the comments that come through.
Absolutely.
And I still think that Chad McKee and Marty Stone look good in a suit and tie. Even though some people disagreed with that. I mean, you don't golf in a suit and tie, but the announcers still have on a suit and tie.
That's a good point. That was a good point.
You know, you don't play football in a suit and tie.
I'm just glad they weren't supplemented out.
Herbstreit and Jesse.
If they would have showed up with jerseys.
Just log on to Fantasy Fishing. And
this is
on Bassmaster.
This is our group.
Yeah, just go to the Fantasy Fishing tab on Bassmaster. If you don't have an account, you create an account, you create your team, then you scroll at the top of the page there. You go down to My Groups, then you scroll down to Join a Group. It is a public group. You'll see Tackle Warehouse is there at the top because they basically give away like $8 billion worth of prizes if you win one. But we're about midway down on the first page. There's 217 in the group already. It just says Bass Talk Live. Click it, join the group. You're in the group then. Let's see. I think I have my team picked. Oh, I do.
I have to make some adjustments on mine.
You got to make some adjustments.
Yes. After speaking to a couple of people, I'm going to make some adjustments.
I got Cliff Prince on there.
I think everybody has to.
We'll see how many people do.
What's his percentage right now?
40. That's pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kyle Monty. He's the other Florida guy. But I mean, I also go, you got to go with the Florida guys in Florida. Drew Benton.
Yeah.
So.
All right, we'll see. Real quick, did I mention one of our listeners, Mike Cassano? Did I talk about him? He sent us a very impressive email and breakdown on a lot of stuff that's going over on the MLF side, from a breakdown of the places 41 through 80. And to be quite honest with you, Matt, even after Duckett's explanation yesterday, I'm still a little confused.
A little?
I really am. And the stuff that Mike sent, very, very interesting, very detailed. I'm still confused.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. There's got to be a simpler way to calculate the points and throw those out there to where everybody, it's not a weighted average or whatever they're doing. I'm still kind of lost.
I am too.
All right. The other thing is that I'm working on, I am coming up, and I don't know if they're going to do this or not. If they do it, great, more power to them. But I'm going to go ahead and do it just because, just in case that they do not do it, I am setting up this obscure record book for Major League Fishing. In other words, do you know the Elias Sports Bureau? You ever see that referenced on, on ESPN and SportsCenter? They come up with all these obscure statistics on stuff that takes place in baseball and basketball and football. That's kind of what I'm coming up with.
You know, he hasn't hit a home run on a 2-1 count with a full moon since July of 2011.
I know. So I am working on all of these obscure because we've got all the data.
We've got the data.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So I'm going to come up with these obscure records. And with
are you going to be the
event?
Ken Duke of MLF? Start wearing a flowered shirt?
No.
A fedora?
No. God bless Kenny. There is only one Ken Duke, and he is the bass fishing historian. I think it's very interesting because of the way that the format is different, that you're going to have these obscure stats. Seriously. Like highest or heaviest weight to win a round but not win the tournament. There's an example of one. Right? You may go out and catch 80 pounds in a round, and then you end up not winning the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? You wouldn't have that situation.
Most pounds caught in a period.
All these obscure stats. So I'm working on that. I've got about a list of 20 right
Most
now.
Penalized angler in MLF. I mean, there'll be someone who, you know.
PIMs, right?
Yep.
That's a throughout the year,
he spent an hour and a half of fishing time sitting on the front deck serving penalties.
All right. So that's kind of where we stand going into next week. A great trio of shows this week. And what do you got scheduled this weekend? Jackpot?
Yeah, I'm going to go fish a jackpot. And I actually, like I said, I was working on getting all the tackle organized. So reel day. Get every single reel that
juiced
I own.
Juiced up.
Take it out. Clean it. Cotton swabs, warm, soapy water, paper towels, then the grease for, you know, the level wine and stuff. And then the oil that goes in. The lubricant for the gears, get it all clean, shiny, ready to go.
Yeah.
And then put them on the rods, and I'll do that twice a year, every 6 months.
All right.
Turn the TV on, my outdoor TV. Probably watch an entire season of a Mercer show or a Zoda show.
Yeah.
And get all the reels immaculate. I'll tell you what, it helps people do that if you get a chance.
Yeah.
Just
that's a great
completely
point.
Clean it out. I mean, it takes me about half an hour, 15 minutes to half an hour, depending on it. But at the end, you'd be amazed what you can get with a cotton swab out of your reel. And it's smoother, better afterwards.
Better than your ear, right?
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to stick those in your ear. It explicitly states it on the package.
Everybody does. All right, next week, going to be Winners Week. And then we're going to have the Sunline Hotline show on Wednesday. That's the plan right now. So, Matthew, good luck to you. Everybody be safe. Enjoy. Hopefully warming weather across the country that you can get out and do a little February fishing. So everybody be safe. We're out of here.